Radio Prague News.
A tender on the expansion of the Czech Republic's Temelín nuclear power plant will be a major issue discussed in Washington between Czech Prime Minister Petr Nečas and U.S. President Barack Obama. President Václav Klaus has said that differing views on nuclear energy no longer dominate Czech-Austrian talks. Tennis player Petra Kvitová defeated Vera Zvonareva in their group match in the WTA Championships. The tender on the expansion of the Czech Republic's Temelín nuclear power plant will be the main topic discussed in a meeting between Czech Prime Minister Petr Nečas and U.S. President Barack Obama in Washington on Thursday. According to the Czech news agency ČTK, America is hoping to re-emphasize a strong interest in the contract, worth hundreds of billions of crowns. The U.S.-based firm Westinghouse is competing against two other bidders in the tender. The visit by Mr. Nečas to the White House on Thursday could also express new emphasis in Czech-American ties following the U.S. abandonment of an advanced warning radar in the Czech Republic that had been pursued by the previous administration. Meetings with past Czech Prime Ministers Mirek Topolánek and Vladimír Špidla were dominated by security issues, ČTK noted, while now economic matters have come to the fore. In related news, Czech President Václav Klaus has said that differing views on nuclear energy between the Czech Republic and Upper Austria no longer dominate Czech-Austrian talks. Mr. Klaus made the statement during a visit to Linz on Tuesday after meeting with representatives from the public and business spheres as well as members of the academia. According to the head of state, questions of improving road infrastructure now dominate. A group of about 10 Austrian opponents of nuclear energy staged a protest against Temelín outside the Czech honorary consulate in Linz. Mr. Klaus said he didn't believe that the protest expressed the majority view of the region's inhabitants. The Communist Party has failed to push through a proposal in the lower house which would have capped pre-election campaign spending by political parties. The bill was rejected by coalition MPs who are reportedly preparing similar legislation of their own. The communists had been seeking to limit pre-election spending in senatorial and national campaigns to 50 million crowns and regional election campaigns to 20 million while introducing penalties for transgression. Wenceslas Square in the Czech capital will hold car-free days again next year after holding a trial run last month on September the 18th. The event was held during the middle of European Mobility Week and car traffic on Prague's most famous square was banned for several hours. The mayor of Prague 1, Oldřich Lomecký, told journalists on Wednesday that officials at Prague 1's town hall, business owners and others had registered the event as a success and that next year such days could be held once per month from April to October. Mr. Lomecký said on Wednesday that in recent years Wenceslas Square lacked purpose, suggesting that events like the Christmas market helped revitalize the famous space. Turning to sport now, and Czech tennis player Petra Kvitová got off to a good start in her first match in the red group on Tuesday at the WTA Championships in Istanbul. She defeated opponent Věra Zvonareva in straight sets. The Czech player, who triumphed at Wimbledon this year, won 6-2 and 6-4. Finally, a quick look at the weather. More cloudy and rainy conditions are expected over the next few days. Daytime temperatures on Friday should reach highs of just around 8 degrees Celsius. I'm Jan Velinger. You'll find more news at our website, www.radio.cz. That's it for now, though.
Hello and welcome to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Christian Falvey. Many thanks for tuning in. Today, parties left and right are looking to public referendums on key issues, but no legislation is in place to do so. Is the baby boom over? We'll talk to one doctor who says there never was one. And later on in the program, Spotlight, which, ahead of All Saints Day, visits the Malostrana Cemetery. I hope you'll be staying with us today for all that and more here on Radio Prague. There is general agreement among the country's parliamentary parties that the Czech Republic would benefit from a law on national referendums. However, the approval of such a bill is severely hampered by fierce debates on what issues would be subject to a popular vote. Daniela Lazarova has the story.
Both the country's ruling parties and the opposition have drafted their own proposals on a bill which would allow Czechs to decide on matters of national importance. However, fear of the institution of national referendum being abused or backfiring is making politicians step cautiously. The Social Democrats would like to see a national referendum on church restitutions, and on Wednesday tabled a bill on national referendums in the lower house, which had previously been swept off the table. Social Democrat MP Jeroným Tejc.
The church restitution to the tune of 80 to 100 billion crowns would be the biggest monetary transfer in the country's modern history. Its impact will be felt by everyone, and we feel that for this reason it should be put to a popular vote. However, we do not want to initiate a one-off referendum on church restitutions. We want there to be a law which would allow the government, parliament, or 200,000 Czechs to initiate a referendum on any matter they consider of crucial significance.
The ruling parties, who included the approval of a referendum law in their coalition agreement, want to push through their own draft of the bill, which would prevent a vote on what they see as moral issues. Civic Democratic Party deputy chairwoman Miroslava Němcová explains.
The idea of holding a referendum on church restitutions is as if Mr. Tejc's car was stolen and we all took a vote on whether he should get it back. A referendum on church restitutions is something I'm not prepared to support.
On the other hand, the Civic Democrats would like to see euro adoption subject to a popular vote, despite the fact that the country is bound to adopt the euro under the terms of its EU membership. Miroslava Němcová again.
When we accepted those terms in a referendum, the situation was completely different. The Eurozone was a stable alliance where members were bound to meet the Maastricht criteria and observe the Stability Pact. But now the rules and circumstances have changed significantly.
The list of controversial referendum issues would be endless: nuclear power, the death penalty, abortions, euthanasia, to name just some, and the risk of such an institution backfiring would be considerable. So is the introduction of a referendum prudent and suitable in a parliamentary democracy such as that in the Czech Republic? Jan Kysela is a lawyer specializing in constitutional law.
That is a legal decision for individual states to make. Some are more cautious than others in what they put to a popular vote. And occasionally the institution backfires, as it did when the citizens of California voted on public spending. As a rule, a popular vote should not concern human rights issues, minority rights, and international agreements. Calls for some degree of direct decision-making are legitimate in a parliamentary democracy, but I would open that door very cautiously. This should start from grassroots with more local referendums and regional referendums before it can reasonably safely be taken to a higher level.
A law national referendum would entail a change to the constitution and therefore require constitutional three-fifth majority support, meaning that any referendum bill approved in parliament would have to be the result of a compromise which would win across-the-board support.
That was Daniela Lazarová with that report. This is Radio Prague. In recent years, the media, including Radio Prague, repeatedly reported about the Czech Republic experiencing a baby boom. It seemed obvious. Statisticians reported increasing birth figures, maternity hospitals were bursting at the seams, and mothers had to register months ahead of their delivery to secure a place. So is the baby boom now over? And in fact, did it ever happen? Pavla Horáková reports.
After the fall of communism, this country experienced a sharp fall in the number of babies born every year. In the 1990s, young women put off having children as new career and travel opportunities opened up for them and new methods of contraception became available. But the number of childbirths rose again in the first decade of the new millennium, when those women finally started families. Obstetrician Antonín Pařízek from the General University Hospital in Prague, where some 4,500 babies are born every year, explains the phenomenon.
Takže v České republice jsme zhruba od roku 2002-2003.
In the Czech Republic from 2002 and 2003, we recorded a growing birth rate. From around 90,000 childbirths, we went to 115,000 to 117,000 babies born annually. It was a significant increase, but mathematically speaking, it was not a baby boom. At the same time, the number of maternity hospitals went down from 130 to under 100. So we had a higher birth rate and a lower number of hospitals, which meant that some had problems meeting the demand. This concerned especially hospitals in Prague. And because it was in Prague, the problem was very apparent. And journalists used the term baby boom as an attractive simplification.
According to statistics, Czech obstetricians managed the rise in the number of childbirths successfully without compromising the country's low perinatal mortality, one of the lowest in Europe and worldwide. The Czech Republic's birth rate seems to have peaked in 2008, and now the figures are stagnating. So what is the future outlook? Dr. Pařízek again.
No, co se týče porodnosti, ten...
We now expect a steady decrease around 100,000 births per year. This country has a good prenatal care system. We have a three-tier system of maternity hospitals. Some 95% of high-risk and pathological pregnancies are transported in time to specialized facilities, perinatological centers where we are able to provide the best possible perinatological care.
With the alleged baby boom now over, doctors say they still face new challenges, most notably premature births, which are on the increase as a result of multiple pregnancies in women who have undergone in vitro fertilization.
Many thanks to Pavla Horáková. If you're just tuning in, then thank you for joining us. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Christian Falvey. Cemeteries across the country will soon fill with flowers and burning candles when on All Saints' Day people visit the graves of their loved ones. But in Prague there is one burial ground where few visitors are expected. The Malá Strana Cemetery was only in use for about a century, and it now stands out as a unique monument in the middle of a dynamically developing district of Smíchov. A group of local enthusiasts have now got together to save this unique part of the city's heritage. Jan Richter visits the Malá Strana Cemetery in this edition of Spotlight.
Today, the Malá Strana Cemetery is wedged in between two busy roads in the industrial district of Smíchov. Trams now pass by the graveyard with ivy-covered tombstones and a small church of the Holy Trinity. The cemetery was named after the city's historic quarter below Prague Castle, on the left bank of the Vltava River. But it is not in fact located there. It lies a good half hour's walk from Malá Strana. Since the last person was buried there in the 1880s, its surroundings have undergone dramatic development. But little has changed in the cemetery itself, which for decades was left unkept and abandoned. This year, an association was founded that wants to save and promote this unique cemetery. Gabriela Kalinová is one of its founding members.
This cemetery has a very interesting history. It was first established in 1680 as a plague cemetery. The area used to be covered with vineyards, but later a plague infirmary from Malá Strana was set up here. These infirmaries were always set up away from towns to prevent the spreading of the disease. A small cemetery for the victims of the plague was set up here, which was then used again in 1713 and 1714 when Prague was hit by another plague epidemic.
Some 70 years later, the reformist Emperor Joseph II ordered that all graveyards within urban areas be abolished, and the old plague cemetery got a new lease on life. It became the burial site for Malá Strana and other city quarters located on the left bank. Unlike today, Malá Strana used to be the home of rich and poor alike. Along with stately aristocratic palaces and homes of wealthy burghers, many ordinary people lived there as well as clergymen, writers, musicians and people from all walks of life. For about a century, they all found their final resting place in the Malá Strana Cemetery. Jana Trojanová is another member of the association.
Unikátní je ten hřbitov i v tom, že tady on zakonzervoval těch 100 let.
The cemetery is also unique in that a whole century was recorded here. After it was abolished and no new burials took place, all the tombstones, the graves and the inscriptions typical of that time remained untouched. So the graveyard provides a nice sociological sample of Prague's population over the span of 100 years.
When the cemetery was abolished, many people had their family graves removed to a new burial ground further away on the outskirts. But in the graves that remained lie some of the outstanding figures of Czech and German cultural life, side by side with the most important industrialist of the time, Gabriela Kalinová again.
The cemetery is sometimes referred to as the cemetery of the Czech national revival, but it could just as well be called the cemetery of the Gründerzeit generation, that is, of the founders of Bohemian industry. Here used to be the graves of the Ringhofer family, the founders of the machinery firm. The Otkoleks founded a big bakery that still exists today, and the Sommerschuss, an important tile factory. One of the Portheims was buried here. His family used to own a big textile factory.
Máme tady jednoho z Portheimů, kteří tady byli zakladatelé těch velkých textilek.
Gabriela Kalinová took me for a walk around the cemetery with dozens or maybe hundreds of graves. Some have magnificent tombstones with delicate sculptures of angels and doves. Others are marked with simple metal crosses. Ms. Kalinová says it's not quite clear how many graves are here, as the documents and records are often confusing. One small tomb is adorned with a little angel. It's the grave of the Holy Girl, perhaps the best-known inhabitant of the cemetery.
Now we're approaching the most famous tombstone, that of the Holy Girl. Her name was Anna Deginová, but we only know that she was 4 when she died. There are several legends about her life. One of them says that she saw her parents coming home, leaned out of the window, toppled over the rim, and died. Another says that she dropped her doll out of the window and fell out after her. But we really don't know anything specific. But in the neighboring section, Mr. and Mrs. Degen are buried, so we think they might have been her parents.
Entering the Malá Strana cemetery, you cannot miss a large central monument dominating the whole site. It is quite tall, and it depicts a bishop kneeling down to read from a large book. It marks the grave of Prince Leopold von Hohenstein, the bishop of Passau in Germany, who came to spend his last years in Prague. Soon after he died in 1826, his extraordinary tomb, well visible from the street, became the subject of other legends.
There is a legend about a proud countess who was coming back from a ball and stopped her carriage by the cemetery. She joked about the bishop reading his book all the time and that she would like to see what the book says. But when she climbed the statue to see what was in it, she found her own name there. She died soon thereafter as punishment for her blasphemy. A velice brzo tedy zemřela, protože
to byl trest za její rouhání. The romantic setting of the Malá Strana cemetery inspired several Czech authors, including the 19th century writer Jan Neruda, whose parents were buried here and who placed one of his short stories here. Another one was Jakub Arbez, who eventually stood up against plans to have the whole graveyard destroyed.
Byly zde názory, že by bylo tedy dobré hřbitov úplně zrušit, rozpadnout.
Some thought it would be best to raise the cemetery completely, divide it up into building lots and erect new houses. But some public figures strongly opposed those plans, mainly the writer Jakub Arbez. He had good reason to do so, as part of his family was buried there. His relatives were later exhumed and taken to another cemetery, but he came here as a boy to play because he lived nearby and he was friends with a grave digger's son, as he wrote in his story, A Cemetery That's Dying Out.
Earlier this year, Gabriela Kalinová, Jana Trojanová and some dozen other people founded an association which wants to preserve and popularize the site. They clear and identify the graves, organize walks and put out brochures about its history. Ms. Trojanová says it's rewarding work.
Jsme tou práci všichni jako nadšení, protože když jsme přišli,
we are all so excited about what we are doing here. When we came, all the statues were covered in ivy, so what we do now is we clear them to get to read what the tombstones say. There are so many of them and there are very few records, so we keep discovering amazing things.
A objevujeme úžasné věci.
After the Second World War, there were attempts to turn the Malá Strana cemetery into a public park with paved paths and benches. The graveyard was in fact until recently open to the public, but vandalism made the authorities close it down again. Jana Trojanová hopes her work and that of her friends will eventually draw attention to the unique cemetery and money will be found to renovate it.
Jak vidíte, ty cestičky, to je všechno udržováno celkem jako v pořádku.
As you can see, all the paths are well kept and people can walk about, but there are no plans for the revitalization of the cemetery. We need to find out more about the graves and we also have to figure out what to do with all those trees and shrubs and so on. That's a long-term project that will need a lot of money, but we think all it needs is an impulse.
Ale my si myslíme, že jako musí od někud přijít impuls.
The Malá Strana cemetery is just a few tram stops away from the busy area of Anděl. So if you're in the mood for a romantic walk around the cemetery on one of those gloomy autumn days, you will find the contact information on Radio Prague's website.
That was Jan Richter in the Malá Strana cemetery for that edition of Spotlight. Tapping off our show for today is the next edition of our Soundcheck series, where the Czech language meets the language of music, and brought to you on this occasion by Daniela Lazarova.
V očích mám sůl a na hlavě máslo, mažu vám med okolo úst, ale nad rozlitým mlíkem nebulí.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Soundcheck, Radio Prague's Czech language course in which you can learn new phrases with the help of song lyrics. Today's song is by a singer going by the name of Ksindl X, and it's called Poslední večeře, The Last Supper.
V očích mám sůl a na hlavě máslo, mažu vám med okolo úst, ale nad rozlitým mlíkem nebulí.
The song is chock full of idioms relating to food. Doubtless you can think of many in your own language. See how they compare with ours. Mít na hlavě máslo, literally translated, means to have butter on your head, or as the English say, to have egg on your face. You can also have honey around your mouth when someone smears it there. Mazat med kolem úst or kolem pusy means someone is singing your praises, trying to get into your good books.
V očích mám sůl a na hlavě máslo, mažu vám med okolo úst, ale nad rozlitým mlíkem nebulím. Všechno, co jsem si navařil, to dneska si s ním dnes poduším úst, a tak vás zvu všechny k tabuli.
Moving on to side dishes, mám v krku knedlík, I have a dumpling in my throat, means someone is so nervous they can barely swallow. While jsem v rejži, I'm in rice, means you're in big trouble. Horký brambor means hot potato, something no one wants to deal with. While utáhnout někoho na vaření nudli, to reel someone in on a boiled spaghetti, suggests that they are extremely easy to manipulate. Someone like that will fall for your tricks. Skočí vám na špek, meaning they will jump on your bacon. Don't ask me why. And you can make them drunk on a roll. Opíti je rohlíkem, another expression referring to gullibility.
Chtěl bych vás utáhnout na vaření nudli, ale vím, že mi neskočíte na špek, když vás zkouším opít rohlíkem.
If you have had a few libová léta or lean years, it means you have not fared too well. Zavařovat means to preserve something, but if you say zavařil jsem si, it means you have got yourself into big trouble, in which case you may have to zbalit si svých pár švestek, pack up your few plums, or possessions in other words, and leave. The main thing is neplakat nad rozlitým mlékem, not to cry over spilt milk. And when you get a cake, look for the cherry on top, třešinka na dortu, meaning an additional bonus.
And I end today on a Czech proverb which says, jak k jídlu, tak k dílu. As you eat, you are likely to work, meaning don't expect a good job from people who pick at their food. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for learning Czech with me and naschledanou.
A potom prostřete stůl, vždyť tak má se dnes prej žít. Prostě pokojedem, zbalím si svých pár švestek a potom naschle.
That was Daniela Lazarová with Soundcheck, wrapping up Radio Prague's English program for today. Don't forget that this program and every other is available at our internet address, radio.cz. If you have any questions or comments, we are always glad to hear them. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz, on Facebook or Twitter under Radio Prague, or of course by post to Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague. From me, Christian Falvey, thanks for listening.